Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So the last episode, we were celebrating being champions. We were hoping another person in this group would be celebrating being a champion, but it wasn't quite to be. We'll discuss more about that in episode 32 of the Premier Non-League Podcast.
The Premier Non-League Podcast.
Of course, we are talking about Christopher May, the South Shields fan. Chris, at one stage, correct me if I'm wrong, it was in your hands because you were top of the table going into Bank Holiday Monday. And at one stage, you were leading because Buxton were losing, am I right? Or something happened where you jumped over them at one stage on that Bank Holiday Monday?
Yeah. So on the Saturday, at 4:50, Buxton were more or less champions. They were winning at Michelover. South Shields were drawing at FC United. And then at 4:51, Shields scored an 89th minute winner or 91st minute winner, and Michelover got an equaliser against FC United. So we went into the Bank Holiday Monday and we were...
You were a point behind, I think.
Point behind, yep. And when South Shields scored their first goal against Whitby, we were top of the league.
How was the reaction at that stage? It must have gone erupted.
No, it didn't, because within about 2 minutes, Buxton were winning. So it didn't last long.
Nice.
It didn't last long.
I was just going to say, me and Pete were watching a sort of really disappointing match at Horsham, but we were kind of keeping more of an eye on the South Shields scores on that Monday, weren't we, Pete?
Yeah.
Pete, of one word again tonight. Yeah, I think he said more than yeah.
I think he's having health problems, I think, Pete, isn't he?
Sorry, Chris, go back to it. So you're saying, yeah, then Buxton equalised.
Buxton took the lead. Buxton took the lead in their game. And then South Shields went 2-0 up. And then Whitby got a goal back. And then in the second half, it was the story of the season. South Shields should have gone in at half-time 5-1 in front, or 4-1. And then in the second half, we should have gone 5-1 up, or 6-1. Can't quite remember exactly. But because we didn't take gilt-edge, and I mean gilt-edge chances, it was 2-1, and Whitby got a foothold, and we allowed them in, and they got two late goals, and that was it. So it fell flat on its face, and without a complete miracle, it was over.
Plus 10 goal difference on you or something, didn't they?
So it was there were 3 points ahead, 10 goals. Ironically, Buxton lost on Saturday in their last game. So had we not conceded against Buxton, who knows? But Shields went to Grantham on Saturday, last game, didn't mean anything really. So Kevin Phillips made a lot of changes, gave two league debuts, rested about four or five completely. So because all focus now is on tomorrow night or Tuesday night, playoff semi-final. And the irony is, well, not irony, I suppose, it's not irony because it's the story of this blooming league. We could have played any one of three teams at 4:45. On Saturday, it was any one of three, and then lo and behold, results mix up, and we thought we were going to play Matlock. Matlock scored, and we now play Warrington Town. So
happy with that or not? I mean, you can't. I mean, I think Trevor said it before. Like, all the teams are up there for a reason in the playoffs. You're not going to have a team that's not going to be a tough competition, no matter what their run of form is. Because as we know, for professional leagues up to non-league, the playoffs is a completely different kettle of fish. You can have the sixth place team in the Football League getting promoted because they've gone on a run. What I'm sort of concerned about a little bit, and I don't know if you feel this as well, so you lost 1-0 on Saturday as well. Would you not have liked to try to get a real momentum going again and sort of doing a bit of a spanking or, you know, a few goals in to try and roll into that Tuesday night tomorrow? Like, when is it? Tuesday or Wednesday? It's tomorrow night, isn't it? It's our league.
Yes, tomorrow. So Tuesday night. So no, not really, because it means nothing in terms of South Shields away and South Shields at home are two completely different entities. So I would fancy, I know we lost against Whitby on Bank Holiday Monday, but I would fancy us against anybody at home. And we've got unfinished business with Warrington, who beat us in the playoffs 2 years ago. 3 years ago, sorry.
Is that in a step below?
No, this step.
Oh, this step, yeah.
This step 3 years ago. It was the year when there were super playoffs as well.
Okay.
So Warrington then went into the super playoff against Kings Lynn, and Kings Lynn turned them over. So we've beaten Warrington twice, home and away, this season. They are a very physical side, and we're, you know, it'll be a very, very tough game. But you've just got to beat whoever's in front of you. I would have taken anyone. The team that I feared most is Scarborough, who've been in some good form, and they will take some beating. So Matlock are playing Scarborough. I fancy Scarborough to turn Matlock over, and I fully anticipate the South Shields Scarborough final on Bank Holiday Monday. But it's playoff football, so who knows? It could be anything.
How are you feeling, though? How's the club feeling? Do you feel a little bit flat at the end of the season? Or, I mean, are you excited for the playoffs or not? Because you know you should have really been taking that title.
I'm glad that we lost. If we weren't going to go up automatically, I'm glad that we kind of knew after the second last game of the season rather than the last. I think it would have been tough to take had we gone into Saturday's game with a view that we could win the title, a serious chance of winning the title and then failing.
Yeah.
It's a different feeling altogether. The players, you know, they've got everything out of their system. So I'm more confident going into Tuesday night than I would have been had Saturday been something where we should have won the league on Saturday but didn't. Mm-hmm. It would have taken an absolute miracle to have won the league on Saturday. So the players have had an opportunity to really focus on the playoffs for a good 10 days.
Yeah, no. So it's Scarborough versus Matlock and it's South Shields. South Shields versus... Who is it again?
South Shields versus Warrington and Scarborough.
Sorry, Warrington. Matlock. Yeah,
one,
there you go.
One thing I would say, I'm not a fan of this, you know, because of the nature of the situation where nobody knew who was playing who until 10 to 5. The fact that you've only got a 72-hour turnaround, well, pretend, you know, almost 48 hours, to try and sort out fixtures, and you think of travelling support. Leagues need to have a look at this. To have given support, Warrington fans can't get any coaches arranged for Tuesday night.
That's
because
awesome.
It's such short notice. It's absolutely ridiculous. I just do not understand it. The need to get these games played so quickly. Why couldn't they have done it, I don't know, Saturday and then the following Saturday? I don't get it. It's a bit silly.
I was just going to say, I was looking when I picked the paper up yesterday and practically everybody's semi-final is Tuesday or Wednesday this week. No one's playing Thursday and then finals on Monday when it's a bank holiday. I thought that might have been a little bit more sensible and staggered them a little bit. That some people would have travelled, for example, Chris, up to watch your game on maybe Thursday, having done somewhere in the south down here on the Tuesday. And there's very little opportunity for you know, any ground hoppers to get around. And I thought Leeds just could have done that a little bit better.
Well, had it been Thursday, then it gives support as in Warrington, you know, they're a reasonably well supported side. And I think they would have brought a couple of coach loads up had it been Thursday night or something like that. You could have still played the final on Bank Holiday Monday.
Yeah.
It just seems ludicrous to me. This haste to get things. It's like the haste of 2 years ago to null and void everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
This seems this rush when no other league, you know, the National League have still got games going on. The Football League and the Premier League have still got plenty of games to play. There's nothing that's going to really affect the pyramid by getting these games played so quickly. I would have understood had there been super playoffs again, but there aren't any.
No.
It just seems very, very silly. And it's a shame because what it does also, it means that the atmosphere on tomorrow night, Tuesday night, may well be diluted slightly because Warrington won't really have many fans there.
Mm.
And when they came to us 3 years ago, and they did bring a good travelling army, and it was a good atmosphere. So it's a shame, but it is what it is. Certainly plays into South Shields' hands, who are the home side. I'm not complaining in that way, but from a football supporter's perspective, it isn't ideal.
I was going to say, Chris, isn't it a case of some of the player contracts are due to expire at the end of this month?
Yes.
So therefore, some clubs might not want to, if it goes on a few weeks longer to stretch the playoffs out, then clubs might not want to pay the players.
Very much so. About that, yeah.
Very much so. There was someone mentioned in another forum yesterday, in fact, that footballers, part-time footballers who work generally have agreements with their employers that they would play or train on a Tuesday and a Thursday night. So, because people have asked, why couldn't we play Wednesday and give another 24 hours? But that there, the argument is, well, why didn't we play on a Thursday? Because players would normally train on a Thursday. So they're used to getting out of work. So, but certainly the contractual side of things, particularly when you think of the league below, the next step down, they've got playoffs and all of their players, I guess, would be working as well. There's a huge interest up here in the Northern Premier League East playoffs because three North East sides make up three of the four spaces in the playoffs. So there could well be another North Eastern side moving up into the Northern Premier League Premier Division.
I think as well, like Chris, on that rushing bit as well, excuse me, where we've found out yesterday that Sault Dean in the Southern Combination finished second, but can't go up. They failed the ground grading. They popped Newhaven in on points per game into a playoff against Lancing on Saturday. And then it's caused a problem with the cup final. They're playing against Littlehampton on Monday, which has now been moved to a Wednesday night. And
I thought they said they weren't moving it.
No, the County League then came out and said, we'll make a decision a bit later, which they've done. So they've now moved it to the Wednesday night. And it's all kicked off across Twitter because people have said, public transport, I can't get home from Hassocks. I'm from 7:30 kickoff on Wednesday night. 3 o'clock on Monday was lovely. Why can't we play it on Saturday the 7th?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So far, there's nothing come back to it. But that sort of shortness, the thing that I disagreed with was that the FA would have known Sault Dean had failed their ground grading before Saturday. So even the game on Saturday, Sault Dean could have won the league and Littlehampton could have come second. Yet you'd have been tempered with the fact that actually you'd have finished as champions because Sault Dean can't go up. So, why they did it the way they did the FA at the weekend, I really don't know, because those ground gradings would have been known probably a month, if not 2 months ago, end of March.
Ground gradings are done weeks in advance.
Mm. And it's just caused more flipping outrage. Because people have bought tickets for Monday, train tickets, that sort of thing in advance, because obviously the cheapness of them doing it.
Oh, but we're never thought of, mate, are we? They never think of the fans, do they?
No, well, we can go on to that and with the National League, can't we, later on?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, as we said, we've spoken on this, and this is kind of what started the Premier Non-League podcast, was the way it was all treated throughout COVID, with cancellations, not thinking of the fans or the players or the clubs. And they're doing, as Chris quite rightly alluded to, what's the rush? And Pete, I didn't even really consider what Peter said. It could be something to do with that, but why not? It just makes no sense, does it?
Well, if they're contracted and the contracts run out on normally the contracts run out on April the 30th. Normally, that's in the old days, the old non-league system. Contracts for part-time players would run out on April the 30th. If that was the case, surely it could be players could be just paid a one-off match fee, and there's no.
The thing is, Chris, I think if you look at what happened, I mean, it happened at Charlton Athletic during the thing when they reconvened after COVID. Some of the players refused to come back because they don't want to get injured for they've got other teams lined up. And this is like one of the Charlton have got a real issue with Lyle Taylor, as Pete Wright knows quite rightly. Who's that, Pete? It's Lyle Taylor, because he refused to play for Charlton when it was reconvened because he was out of contract. Now, another player did, one called Chris Solly, who now plays for Ebbsfleet. He thought he was going to bigger and better things, but he's clearly not, because he's gone, well, I mean, Trevor will probably say, yeah, well, anything's better than Charlton, but, you know, we'll wait and see that. it's one of those things that maybe that's the reason why, because there's no guarantee and they don't have to do it. They could all say, yeah, we'll play one off, but they don't sign a contract, but then they're out of the door. Then you've lost your best striker because he's been poached by someone in the league above, which he's got to move anyway, he's been tapped up about. So, you know, that could be it.
Could be, but the playoff finals are in May. You know, they're on Monday. Which is May. So I don't know. It just seems hasty, a bit rushed, when there appears to be no need to be rushed.
I was very surprised.
I know, you know, it's bank holiday, and which is great. It's fantastic. It's a bank holiday.
Yeah.
But is there any need when?
Yeah.
It's not. I don't think it's great having it on the bank holiday, because.
Well, I don't either. Which,
yeah,
I don't.
But we can't do what we did on Saturday night, can we, Pete?
That's exactly it. You can't really celebrate and go out and get absolutely trolled because you've got work the next bloody day.
Exactly. Yeah. But. Hey, we don't make the decisions, do we?
No. Well, we're looking forward to seeing, and hopefully,
I'm condoning drinking.
Oh no, of course you're not. Well, hopefully, Chris will be able to take part in that, and he'll have a nice little hangover on Tuesday week after South Shields get promoted, which obviously we're rooting for. Pete, we suffered I was all right on Sunday, to be fair, but we suffered our hangover and a big party on Saturday. What an event it was, Pete, at Woodside Road on Saturday.
It wasn't too bad, was it?
No. I mean, we'll talk about Trev's Saturday antics down the road a little bit later, but nothing bad. It's nothing bad. I mean, it could be, unless you've been saying something before we come on the air tonight, but it was a good old party. We finally got our hands on that lovely Isthmian League trophy. Apologies to Nick Robinson, who has previously been on the PNLP, because I don't know if he expected a keg full of Budweiser to be poured in it and shared around Woodside Bar and then taken down to the local pub as well. But you got to make the most of it.
I was thinking about that on Sunday and I thought, do you know what? We're probably all going to come down with bloody COVID.
Did you not hear me going around calling it the COVID jar? I was calling it the COVID jar.
How old is that trophy?
It looks pretty old. I mean, the shield that came with it as well. There's a big shield. I don't know if you saw a picture of that, Chris. That was like down in the 1920s. Right? So that shield's been around, which is pretty nice. And it was quite weird to see the last that you didn't really think. I know it's weird to think, but the last winners of that trophy are Dorking Wanderers, because they're the last ones got promoted. But you think that was 3 years ago. It's weird to think, isn't it? Like, and we did notice, Pete, we were laughing. I don't know if you were with me and Spencer at the time, but we noticed the Isthmian League medals have got a gold-plated sticker on the back. And I said, I wonder if you peel it off, would it say Isthmian League Champions 2021 on it? And they've just gone and printed a load of stickers to save a bit of money. Because it did look... And all players were like, yeah, actually, it is a sticker. So I wouldn't peel it off or anything. But there's a spare one lying around. Maybe it'd be worth seeing. And then they cut some corners. But scenes like that, Pete, you know, it's just what we've dreamed of for like so long. And, you know, just to see what a special club it is. And I was talking to our commercial director at one stage and he was saying there have been pro clubs over our players like flies on you know what. And it'll be a shame because there's so many characters there and we're not going to see the same squad next season because rightly they've earned their right to play professionally or in higher leagues. But it kind of brings to light about non-league and how it can be when you've got such a group of players, because you obviously have a team for a year and the good ones go, but to have the same squad pretty much for 3 years, it's going to be a bit bad, sad to see them go, Pete.
I think you'll keep the core of it because a lot of the players are very happy at Worthing and now we're going up a level ourselves anyway. So the players will get a bit more buzz in their pocket. So So, you know, I don't think there'll be a mass exodus. I think he should be able to keep in the... And obviously, Aaron Racine's already signed for next season on the BSS as well. Isthmian League's top scorer.
But that just protects us, doesn't it, I guess, a little bit as well, in case someone does come in for them.
Yeah, and I think Harrison Mayo more than likely stay the goalkeeper and Jasper.
I heard other things on Saturday, but I'm not going to put myself out there, but I've been hearing other things about Harrison, which would be a shame. But again, he's deserved it. Yeah, he's deserved it if they do, because what a keeper he's been. Some of the saves he pulled off on Saturday, even, it was amazing. Pete, have you got over your hangover yet?
I'm absolutely fine. Not even when I'm
actually saying that, he was out with one of the other guys on Sunday down the pub again, so he's hair in a dog, I think.
It was his birthday, so we had to have a few. I bumped into him and thought, right, well, I'll just go for a couple of bevvies.
Yeah, it was a nice Sunday as well on the South Coast, but talk about the South Coast, Trevor. You decided not to come to Woodside Road for the party. You went to Littlehampton to see them win the title, which they would have done anyway because of the ground grading issues, which will go on in the next thing. But how was that up there? They've still got our banner up, so thank you very much.
Yeah, the banner's still up, isn't it? Yeah, it's very, very kind of that. So we were only supposed to have it up for the Vars game, so it's actually in another two or three league games, which is very nice. So thank you very much, Littlehampton, for that. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
You guys had already won yours, so there was nothing riding on your game. It was a dead rubber. So, yeah, but that's a party, isn't it? You know, I go for the football, not for everything else. But saying that, I mean, had their game, you know, they could easily have won it on Easter Monday. Saltdean struggled past Vardinians, who've been in the bottom three all year, but actually they've done a fantastic job, Vardinians, to pull themselves off the bottom and into another season there. And Littlehampton won in the 99th minute against Pagham, after apparently quite a lot of time wasted from the Pagan keeper, which backfired on him. And obviously that put Littlehampton still in pole position come the last day.
It looked like the pictures. It was a good old celebration. I had over 1,000 people there, which is kind of unheard of for that level. So fair play. I think they've attracted a lot of fans with their Vars triumphs this season, which is great to see for Sussex. As we said, like we've already with the last episode of Hastings being promoted, Worthing being promoted, Littlehampton is very good for the south coast of England. It seems to be becoming maybe a little hotbed for non-league football, and let's hope it long continues.
Must be something in the water, mustn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Can't be anything else on that coast.
That's how Pete doesn't have a hangover on a Sunday morning. Something in the water.
We should mention Horsham as well, because they did win the Velocity Trophy.
No, we don't want to talk about them.
Yes,
No, we don't. Johnny's not on the podcast anymore.
No, he might not be, but he could.
Saying that, you know, this is again a rumour, and I apologise. Apparently, Horsham wouldn't give us a guard of honour because they expected us to give him a guard of honour for winning the Velocity Trophy. Not even joking. They got a bit funny about it.
How's that going to work? How can you give a guard of honour to the team that's already come out? And then, how's that going
to
work?
Yeah, they wanted us to they weren't going to give us a guard of honour. They expected us to give them a guard of honour for winning the Velocity Trophy. They weren't even going to bother acknowledging us as champions, which is really, really quite peculiar. But so yeah, them strange lot up in Sussex, up the coast.
There's obviously nothing in their water, is there?
No,
simple as that. Too
close to Crawley.
Yeah, 1,092 at county league level, which I'm sure I saw something late last week, and I couldn't find it again this morning. It would have been. They hadn't had a crowd over 1,000 in the county league.
It was in the paper.
I put that in. But then Steve messaged me to check, and I went, I've seen it somewhere. Do you think I could find it again? I went back.
Do you know these journalists with their fake news? These fake news journalists, God almighty, you know, putting fake news all over the internet, Trevor. Now, but I mean, come on, you've got to think, you ain't going to get 1,000 in county league, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, maybe win the AFC Wimbledon times or something like that, you know, possibly.
Yeah, that would have been an Aldershot as well when they reformed, but you're going back to the early 90s for that as well. So, the biggest crowd in the county, in the Sussex, well, Southern combination, rather, this year was 561. From Eastbourne Town, so it doubled that, and so they certainly had the record for the season anyway. But I'm sure the biggest crowd for a long few years.
I guess a few Bognor fans would have gone along, because they've got to have something nice to watch rather than the dross they have it down at Nyrwood Lane.
It's obviously, like you say, with the Vars runs, has attracted a lot of people, not just like within the town, but you know, absolutely everywhere. They've sold almost the entire allocation for Wembley that they've been given so far. So they've almost sold the 6,800, and there's still, nearly 3 weeks to go before actually go to Wembley.
Well, we talk about Sussex football, and obviously we, Pete and I have said, and I know you, Trevor, said it would have been nice for Lewis. Even Eastbourne Borough's chairman came on and said he would have loved to have had Lewis go up. But Eastbourne could go up in the next league. They're in the playoffs at the moment. They secured their place to go up to the National League. So so whether and Havant are in there right now as well. So, Pete, any sort of local derby could be getting brushed right out of the water for us, which would be a little bit of a shame. But one of those teams will obviously stay down. But I'd rather thought, I think, because of David, it would be nice to go down and see David and, you know, go and meet him in person. But Havant's right by my sister and brother-in-law's house, so it'd be quite nice to go and see them as well. But quite close to the bottom.
Well, only one of them can go up anyway, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get one of them. Trevor, quite close to the bottom with your friend Smudger. He's kind of scraped through at the last minute when it was looking. And PNLP favourite Dicko, he saved a day of two goals and assists to keep him up in the league. They scraped through and they lost on the last day. And like, it was just because of other results that they missed out on the relegation playoff place. Mm. So they just survived. So from what we said before, it'd be interesting to see what happens over the summer now. Will he stay there? Will he attract some more from above? Dicko said to me he'd like to stay. If he's offered to stay, he wants to stay at Cray. So obviously it'd be interesting to see, because as we know, the season's got unavoided. Cray Wanderers are right at the top of the league.
I did see on Sunday, actually, Sam Wright, who's the CEO at Cray, who I know, did put on Twitter on Sunday about looking forward to working with Smudger again next season. I haven't asked him yet for definite.
Was that a little bit of a bait?
I don't know. I did put on there. I said, is that confirmation of next season? He hasn't actually replied.
Or did Smudger get a bit drunk in a bar going, yeah, there'll be it next year? And he's like, why? I never said that.
I mean, thing is, you know, there aren't at the moment that many jobs going around a little bit higher, because steps one and two are still playing for another 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Whether anything else crops up in the meantime, you know, Strebs popped a little tweet up on Saturday, I think, after Barney had beaten Eastleigh, and their form hasn't improved since Strev's gone by sacked. Mutual consent. Yeah,
sugared.
Yeah, it hasn't gone the way they would have done. So, you know, he'd be
looking. I think Cray's quite an exciting prospect. They've got this new ground being built at the moment. I mean, is it ready for the season, or is it the following season?
No, from what I've heard, they won't be in at the start of next year anyway. They might make
next year as in 2023, or you mean the next season?
No, as in next season starting in August. The stadium will be ready before anything else, so they will be over there playing while everything else starts to build up around them and everything. But yeah, it's an exciting little...
might be what he can, like, you know, he's got the opportunity. And we know what the new, I mean, definitely in the professional leagues, you know, what new stadium can do to a team. It can bring a lot of fans in. It can bring a lot of, look at what happened to Brighton Hove Albion. You know, they were sort of League One, League Two, bounced back up and down, and they're now established Premier League team from the new stadium. So it will be interesting. Maybe that's what's tempted him to stay, because he thinks, well, if I'm getting given a little bit of a budget, got this new stadium come in, maybe I could challenge for a promotion place that we should have done 2-3 years ago.
He easily will do. He was offered players like, you know, when he first came in, although he needed them like in the next day and a half, people were offering him players for next year.
Mm.
So, you know, if he does stay, he'll build a squad easily capable. The other thing does, though, he's such an infectious character. He brings people through the gate. There was, I think, over 400 on Wednesday night, 463, I think it was. And Thurrock bought a fair, decent following as well. But there were lots of Bromley fans there. There were three of his ex-Bromley players in George Porter, Jack Holland and Frankie Raymond all turned up to watch. That's the sort of thing he brings to the club off the pitch as well. You try and get a word with him in the bar, it's almost impossible, you know, because he knows that many people there. It was his club for 10 years before he got sacked by them. I think, you know, if he stays, that'll easily be up in the playoffs next year. I wouldn't put it past them challenging for the title, because I think after the scrape they've had this year to stay up, they'll be prepared to say to Smudge, you know, there you go, you can do this, you can do that, you can have this, if you can get that, great. You know, and I think, and I'm speaking to a couple of the guys who I know that I've watched a couple of Cray games with and at Holmesdale as well, they're getting a little bit tedious of Bromley. At the moment, the fact that they're no better off, they're actually worse off now than when they sacked Smudger a year ago. And the fact Andy Woodman's touted himself about for jobs and should have been at Hartlepool, should have been at Gillingham, it's only going to be a matter of time before
he's not really concentrating, is he?
Well, no, and they said if it wasn't from getting to the trophy final, I think he would have been under some serious pressure. He really would have done. So, you know, again, that will, you know, Cray start playing some good football and that's it in top of the league. You know, you got a choice. Do I go away with Bromley or do I, you know, go down the road and watch Cray instead? I think, you know, people are going to make some different choices next year.
I mean, once they move stadium, it's going to be a little bit more difficult because of the locations. I mean, it's not miles away from Bromley, but it's a little distance from where the new Cray ground's going to be. But as you say, if there's more chance of seeing Cray play than, you know, spending a bit of money and supporting and maybe something up and coming, and you never know, that could be their fan base. But I think it will be an interesting season next year. Obviously, we'll touch on, you know, predictions once the season's over and we had a little summer break and we talk and we know what the sort of squads are looking like and some pre-season friendly taking place later on in the summer. But I really fully believe that if from what you say with Smudger, that and he stays at Cray, they could easily be pushing up right up the top like they were 2 years ago. I do think Hastings are kind of come in and give a good go to it with Elphick's just signed a 2-year contract today apparently, so he's but then again, some of the Worthing fans saying he didn't ever do it for Worthing at this level. So will he be able to do it for Hastings? But have they got different financial backing than, you know, than they did at the time? So it'd be interesting to see what Hastings do. But I fully believe with the chairman behind them, Billy Wood, and what they've done, I think they'll be pushing quite close. I mean, look what Horsham did when they first got promoted, and they haven't got a budget like, you know, Hastings had, but they were challenging Worthing for quite a lot of the time. But then they started drifting off a little bit towards the end of the season before it was null and voided. It's going to be definitely an interesting league to, and I'm quite glad we're out of it, aren't you, Pete?
after the last few seasons, definitely.
Yeah, and hopefully Chris will be out of that Northern Premier.
Be nice. It would be nice.
It'd be nice though, guys. But as we said, Littlehampton Town were promoted. We did talk in our WhatsApp group about the ground gradings, because as we fully know, that Salt Dean, who were training them for the title, have been failed on their ground grading. Am I right, Trevor?
Yes.
So what they've just been prevented to be promotion and kicked out the playoffs, and some other team would be gone up in points per goal into that playoff position.
Which one are we talking about? Sorry,
Salt Dean. There's so many to go through. Salt Dean at the moment.
Funny you were just saying that, because I'm just like keeping tabs on Twitter at the moment. I've just got a follow from Brian O'Toole, who's Salt Dean's manager, who stepped down tonight and goes after their IUR Cup final game. So very bizarre. But Brian, I actually had as a manager at Wick when I was there. He's actually got a cracking CV. To be fair, it was full of promotions as either a coach, as a manager or anything. He's quite talented. Salt Dean, that was very, very odd, because I had no inkling of them and their ground grading being failed. Not until it came out late Saturday evening or Sunday morning, I think it was, when they brought these list of teams of who was playing, who in the inter playoffs. The rest of a lot of the other playoffs obviously were confirmed, and New Haven had been pushed into an extra game. And I think Salt Dean's statement has said, though, they know they've got a lot of deficiencies at the ground, which they hope they'll be able to overcome. But from the sounds of things, it looks like something that's going to take at least a year, another season, or maybe 18 months to be able to rectify all those bits to get to that next level.
Have you been to Salt Dean Stadium?
No, I haven't.
I'll say, because I was going to say, like, we all know that this is from Worthing praying them pre-season, Littlehampton Stadium. It's our cricket pitch for, you know, most of the summer. And it's often caused a delay to the start of the season because of the boundaries of the cricket pitch goes onto the football pitch. So what do you know, obviously, from, you know, becoming more closely involved with Littlehampton this season, how have they managed to get through the ground grading? How are they going to prevent that? Are they going to sort of, I don't know, Chris, you might know this. Can you reduce the sort of boundary at cricket or does it all have to be the same size? Or
no, you can reduce the boundary, but there is a minimum. So it depends on the size of the ground. If you can get within the minimum requirements, then yes, you can. That's the problem with multi-use facilities. I've had it at my own, my former cricket club. We shared with a rugby club. It's very, very difficult for two sports to work together side by side. So,
well, their ground is called the sports field. It's quite funny.
So it's going to be very, very difficult. I'm just bemused as to why it's just come out now that they failed the ground grading. Why, when ground gradings normally take place earlier in the year, because some clubs, you know, if their ground only needs a slight tweak, then I'm sure they're normally done in February or March.
No, it's before then, Chris. If I remember rightly, when I was at WIP, it was November, December when they originally come round and do your inspection and then tell you what you need to have done by the end of March. And if you haven't got it done by then, then that's it. Your grading's either drop one level or you're just denied going where you are. So I'm assuming that hasn't changed.
It's quite baffling, really. And such a kick in the teeth for everybody. If they've been given plenty of warning, say, look, it's not looking good for you guys. But to have just been made public now, again, it just makes it begs the question, what are football committees doing?
Yeah. Well, I shared a tweet on the group, obviously, before we came on to record tonight from a Well and Garden City player who they failed their ground grading, but they were in the playoffs and the players sort of said, got into the playoffs on the last day, on a Saturday, and we're kicked out of it on the Sunday by the FA because the ground hasn't made enough. So that was their sort of sanction. And can you imagine that? That the team must have been so buzzing to get into the playoffs, knowing what was going on off the pitch, but they weren't sure what the outcome would be. And then to be told on the Sunday, no, you're not in the playoffs anymore. See you later. I'll see you next season. It just seems awful. It just doesn't seem right.
Well, unfortunately, when you look at the people who run these sports and leagues and things, if you look at the top of the ladder, the head of the DCMS, doesn't even know that a tennis court is called a tennis court. It's a tennis pitch. You know, she called it a tennis pitch. And that's the MP and the Secretary of State for digital, social media and sport. So it starts at the top, works its way down, and we've got far too many people in positions that they're not equipped to be in.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Don't get Trevor started. He's got his hand up.
just reading on the Welling Garden City stuff from a guy called Peter Miller on Twitter, at Peter Miller 36. He's fantastic with these spreadsheets of putting together who's been playing where, does it for the whole year. It's brilliant. He's basically put what an absolute farce is. This is a Welling Garden City thing. Demoted, appealed, successful, denied the playoffs, appealing. So if their playoffs are due to happen in this week in the Southern League, as everyone else is supposed to, when's that appeal getting heard? And then they're going to be triggered beyond that contract point if it gets to that. So he's actually put, knowing the FA stroke league, the appeal will be held at half time of the playoff. Welling Garden City swapping in for North Lee if they win. He's a bit...
But then that's not fair on North Lee, do you know what I mean? That's not fair on them because they're preparing for it now. It's just big. I mean, Pete, from what I understand from Worthing and talking to our chairman, Barry Hunter, I think Worthing need 100 extra seats for next season, don't they, to be successfully past the ground game. Everything else is fine, but it can only be a minimum... Or is that for the National League?
It's 50 for just. We just need 50 for the next step.
But we can only have a minimum of 100 in the stand.
Yeah, you can only get 100. Yeah, that's the time. So
there'll be some seats appear somewhere.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's plans afoot.
I think it should be the Peter Vale commentator stand. There'll be a seats below, and he can have his own little podium above. And no, he has 50 seats below him.
I've got my own podium.
Yeah, I remember when South Shields put 100 seats into one of the terraces that they had because they were the new home of Sunderland AFC ladies in the Women's Super League. So there was a minimum, so they just literally got some seats from somewhere and just plonked them in the in one of the terrace, one of the sheds, just to meet the grid. So that's all you'd have to do.
I'm not sure if you've seen much of Worthing's ground. There's not really a terrace to put them in, to be honest, mate. No. Okay, they would legitimately have to build a new stand. But the plans are is what where the dugouts are, there's a bit of a rickety old sort of covered little small covered terrace, and there's a bank there. And it's what we get the impression of is there'll be a whole side of it will be sort of covered as a terrace, and there'll be seats behind the dugouts. So I think by the time we get in next season, there'll be some minor change around the ground. We've said, to be honest, one of the things that's kind of frustrated a lot of the fans is it's great to see crowds. I mean, how many do we have on Saturday, Pete? Was it 2,200 and something?
2,190.
Yeah, something like that. Problem is with that is they were doing better this day because they had listened to us and they were pre-pouring pints on out some of the outdoor bars, which I know for people like beer is not great, but when you're at football, you don't really care. You just want to have a quick beer. They weren't really doing it inside because there's not the room for, but they need to get more facilities. Like they need to have more beer points in the other corner, especially if they're going to make that as their income, because people were getting frustrated. And apparently they took record takings, but they could, as a lot of us have said, you could take even more if you had more stands.
Yeah.
Because people were getting annoyed. Like Pete and me, obviously being up in the commentator's box, we try and go down. Pete goes for his halftime cigarette. I'm normally the one goes for a quick wee and goes to get the pints. But sometimes you literally just cannot get anywhere near that bar. Yeah. And it's like, and I mean, I'm all right. But Pete, it's just like he's clasping at the walls when he hasn't got his halftime Bex in. And they're taking away Bex from the ground next season, Pete, as well. So you're not happy, are you?
At Shields, the marquee, one of the windows that it's just tarpaulin, it just rolls down. And what they've done there is they've put a can bar in. So they've got a fridge freezer just inside the marquee. And people can go when they've rolled the plastic window down. There's a lady there and you can just get cans poured into plastic.
Yeah. Simple things, mate. Trust me.
you've got three queues rather than two massive ones, you know. So There are ways and means, and I'm sure Worthing.
Well, we've now got a general manager who's come in a couple of months ago, so and he's apparently quite big in the hospitality trade. So you know he's got experience. So maybe I'm sure he'll have that on his radar. Yeah. And what we've said is actually when we were at Horsham, funny enough, on that bank holiday Monday, right next to the stand next to us, they had a sort of beach hut, you know, like a summer beach hut, and it had a little flap at the front. It had four beers on tap. It had some cans of stuff. It was just really easy. It was all connected to the like computerized system. Tap. They had another queue. They had another one apparently on the other side. It was just easy. So I said to the chairman who was sitting next to us, I said, look, there's a picture of it. Let's get one of them in the ground next season because it'd just be so easy. Even if it doesn't look amazing, they could paint it red and white. You know, it'd be perfect in the corner, sort of opposite one of the dugouts. It'd be fine. It would alleviate some of those queues. So fingers crossed, because Pete, it does take away, we have said, it does take away a bit of the match day experience. I mean, there was rumours there had been about 2,400 tickets sold on Saturday, and everyone was saying, joking on our little Worthing chat, we might as well go queue up for the beers now. But
at least you're not getting beers from Wembley Stadium.
Why is that?
Well, have you not seen on social media the video that's out there came out over the weekend where bar staff at Wembley are using drip trays?
Yes. To be honest, so, that's probably what we were drinking out that bloody cup on Saturday night anyway.
So if anybody's going to non-league finals day,
I'm driving, don't worry.
Beware, just watch what they're doing as they pour your pints, because the video, it'll go viral, it's going viral.
Share it to our group if you've got it, if you can find it.
I'll try and dig it out. But it was a bar staff using a plastic pint cup to get the dregs out of the tray and put it into pint glasses.
Hopefully he's been sacked, because that's disgusting. But that's interesting, because I thought Wembley, when it first opened, I know they had the bottom filling cup technology, which is great, because they'd put a tray down, it would just put it down, the little like, sort of one-way valve at the bottom would just suck the beer up within seconds, and I had a beer ready to go, and that was really cool when I first saw that. But obviously that's never going to be able to be implemented at non-league clubs because of the cost of it, but it would be a cool deer. But I mean, these are the things that I guess when you do get promoted, and it sounds like, I don't know what the experience is like at Shields having never gone, but you know, they I'm sure they have their issues from time to time, but you know, it has taken Worthing, once they've got bigger crowds, it has become a bit of a bone of contention with a lot of the fans, especially the regulars, because obviously we don't get 2,000 every week. I mean, we'll probably get more next season, but the ones that regularly go, like, oh, we now can't even get our regular pints at half time, or even go for a wee. You're spending, like, you have to do one, or you have to choose one or the other half time. I mean, Pete's often giving me stick for going down early to go to the toilet, but so I need to go now. I'm going to be about halfway through the second half.
I didn't have a problem at half time.
To be fair, it wasn't actually that bad. I don't know if that's because they're all clearing up for the beers or they're weeing somewhere we don't want to know.
No, but they're bought in four porcelains as well, which obviously relieved a bit of.
I think, you know, there's that little passageway behind the main stand, Pete. Men could just go behind there, just make it a urinal. Be easy, wouldn't it?
Trough behind there.
Yeah. Put a little trough. It always reminds me of that viral video that went around. It was at a festival years ago. Some bloke thought the trough urinals was the hand washing thing, so he was actually washing his hand in urine. It was quite disgusting. Yeah, you know? I don't know if he was on some sort of powder or something, which he might have been. Anyway, moving on from that horrible talk. Pete, you said you brought up here, I mean, sort of topics, Hemel versus Maidstone. There was a bit of racism and some violence after the match. I'm not aware of it. Trevor, you're probably more aware of it than me as well. What happened?
Well, I saw the statement from Hemel, Pete. That was all I've seen, really. I haven't read it, to be fair, but
basically, one of the Maidstone players is going off the pitch. Just won 4-0 at Hemel Hempstead, and somebody used the N-word against one of their players. I can't remember his name now.
Obviously, not Ben and Williams, was it?
No.
It was a skipper, wasn't it? George Elakobi, I think.
That's it. That's the one.
Yeah.
So someone used the N-word as he came off the pitch, and it sort of escalated from there. And basically, the stewards grabbed the guilty party, dragged him into one of the buildings to get him out of the way, because he was they were basically going to, you know, set on him. And then it all kicked off outside this room because some of the Maidstone fans wanted to give him a kick in, and there was a steward covered in blood, there was a fan covered in blood. It just wasn't pretty at all. I've seen a couple of videos today on it going around, and
Why does racism seem to be coming back into football so easy now? It used to be something that's taken years to stamp out.
Yeah, but
now
the thing is, at the same time, get rid of racism, but also, you know, the violence that's coming back into the game as well. You know, let the stewards and the authorities deal with the bloke who's guilty of the racism. Don't get involved in it. Why are they going after the stewards? Why are they attacking the stewards? The stewards haven't done anything. They're just trying to keep this bloke's, I don't know if it's a kid or a bloke, they're just trying to keep him safe.
It's not just non-league though. I don't know if you saw Omar Bagheel had excuse me, something at the weekend as well. Well,
really?
Playing for Sutton, I think it was more of an attack on his foreign,
Where's Omar from again? Is he?
He's Lebanon. Lebanon, so I'm assuming he was born that kind of way. So he had a bit of that. We had Beckenham during the week, didn't we? Yeah. Hosted a cup final that that's not Beckenham's first rodeo, as I said in the group. They had another one.
If you don't know, Trev, let's just sort of say that, like, basically it was picked up by SE Dons, wasn't it? I think they were, was it SE Dons at recording? Their GoPros behind the camera. Basically, for those that don't know, it's widely out there. They were basically renting the pitch from them or something like that, or they were basically told to get off pitch at a certain time. They weren't off. They were basically told the lights went out. And this guy who was clearly filmed, like, he was putting a goal. Was it the guy putting a goal up, or was it one of the people behind the fan?
I think so, yeah.
One of the ground staff was saying, if we turn the lights out, we won't be able to see them anyway. Now, take that what you want, but that's disgusting to say in this day and age. You know, that is absolutely shocking. They turned the lights out as well, and there was cheers, and it was just, what is wrong with people? I mean, we know nowadays, in the sort of era of social media, you've got a bunch of amateurs, you've got plenty of clubs that put GoPros in the goals to, like, film for their own, like, TV or YouTube highlight show. We know there are people out there that they might think that's funny. They might say it. They might think it's their humour. They might generally be racist. But are you stupid enough to do it? You probably didn't know there was a camera in the goal. Probably didn't realise. But even to say it's not acceptable, but in this day and age with cameras, microphones, video devices anywhere, cameras, people's phones, it's just so ridiculous to do it. And he's just probably lost himself a job, whether it was paid or volunteer, got himself a reputation. He could be found out and, you know, right, deservedly get some punished, properly accused by the police as well, possibly. Mm. Why do people do it?
Because they're racist.
Yeah. We had the incident at Barnet, didn't we, back in January? You know, shot out of nowhere.
We're noticing it more because of COVID, as people become more racist throughout COVID, because I don't seem to remember this before COVID as much. It happened, but it seems to be happening a hell of a lot more now. Or is it just because it's more documented because of what I said above, the cameras, the video cameras, you know, stuff like that? Is that why?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. I think the country's got a bit of a short fuse at the moment, to be fair. I think the cooped upness of the last 2 years for those people that can't cope with that, mentally, not from a point of view that they're, you know, more from a point of view that they're a coiled spring waiting to explode. When they're out on a normal day-to-day going about as we do now, it's almost like, it's a normal time for them. But away from everything, cooped up, coiled spring, bang, all of a sudden it's coming out now, I think.
Well, as you guys know, I work in a customer-facing role as my job. You know, I've seen it firsthand. People seem to be less tolerable. Mm. They seem to be more argumentative. I mean, the other week I had someone didn't get his first choice of food and it was like, I insulted his mother. I mean, it was never like that. You get frustrations, but, you know, the amount of things you're hearing, you're seeing in day-to-day life, in shops, in transport, in restaurants, it just seems to be, as you say, it's more like a coiled spring, Trevor, and I hope it doesn't sort of keep on coming to that, because it's just, we don't want it ruining the beautiful game. It's just becoming less and less beautiful as it moves on. And we've seen some things this season we've discussed on this podcast plenty of times about starting to maybe dirty the waters of non-league, which is why we love it. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't continue and, you know, we can put a stamp to this. Hopefully that guy at Beckenham gets an example made of him. They put a statement out, but they need to follow up that statement, in my opinion. They need to say what exactly has happened. They need to turn him into the police, I think. He might be a long-term club employee. He might be respected by them there. But if I want to come out smelling of roses, they need to do the proper thing and turn him into the police, because it's right there on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, quite agree.
Anyway, let's move on from that, because it's not the nicest subject, but, you know, hopefully we don't have any more of it this season, because we have got, although the steps three and below, apart from the playoffs have sort of come to an end, we've still got the National League. Obviously, Trevor, Barnett's, what should I say, super fan. Well, he's not a super fan, but he's on here. But he tries to look more and more optimistic every season. It's just not happened again this year. He said, we did joke before we came on saying it's your season's over. Well, it's not officially over, but yeah, it's been over quite a long time ago.
It never got started, did it?
No. But you had the positivity a little bit, obviously, with the Harry Kewell thing. You weren't too sure, but you thought, oh, maybe we'll give it a go this year. And it kind of went wrong very quickly. And it hasn't really seemed to really. You picked up a win on the weekend. Was all right? Did you win?
Yeah. Beat Eastleigh in just as poor form as we are. But then we lost to Southend on Easter Monday, who were just as badly in form as what Eastleigh and Barnet are as well. And got absolutely hammered at Dagenham on Good Friday. Lovely.
What do you think is going to happen there? Big old restructure again? What's going to happen in the management situation?
Very, very interesting, because across Twitter the last week and a bit has been not toxic, but people are getting fed up with watching games and watching the team get thumped, which I can understand, I can appreciate. Dean's got 18 players maximum to choose from. We've got a treatment room full of players, which happens every single year. So it can't be the management, can't be the physio team. Something isn't medically right. I've been told the pitches are not in great condition, which also...
I mean, you've got state-of-the-art medical equipment there or something that other clubs are jealous of.
Yeah. I could tell you some stories. I won't, because Tony will probably chase me down to court with legal papers and whatnot. You can laugh, Pete. I ain't joking as well. He's threatened other people with legal stuff over the years. It doesn't need drastic surgery. There are a few players there that aren't good enough. There are a few players that need chipping out, just literally because they're causing more of a toxic problem than anything else. He's got everything ready for next season in terms of planning wise. This is the first time, or only the second time in 5 years, we've actually started planning when we should have done back in November, and getting our targets sorted in February, and be sitting here now ready to sign those players, because we've got continuity of manager. That's how shit, and don't use that word lightly, the club's been over the last 3 out of the 4 years. It's, you know, horrendous. How some of us still go every week, I don't know. I mean, I would be completely honest, at Monday when we played Southend, one of my mates, Nick, had booked the tickets beforehand. I had my two girls with me as well going. And the only reason I was going was not to watch football, but because we were meeting Darren Curry afterwards for a beer, which we'd like pre-arranged because Southend were the visitors. Other than that, if we weren't, both of us would have probably binned it off, even though we played.
Is that your last game of the season?
No,
not non-league football, but Barnet-wise.
No, I should be able to get to the Bromley game, which is the last game of the season.
Are you only going there because Smudge going to be there? No,
Smudge won't be there. No, just literally because it's the only day I can actually get to the next one. Where I think we're at home to Grimsby this weekend, away to Altrincham on Monday, away to Weymouth on the 7th, and then we finish against Bromley at home on the Sunday the following week. So, yeah, the Bromley one would be the only one I can actually get to.
Yeah.
But to be honest, if I missed it, it wouldn't. But again, I'd be going because I want to catch up with Dean Brennan rather than I'm going to watch the football, because it's not.
Mm.
And it's through no fault of Dean's. He's only got 16 to 18 players to choose from. There's not much he can do to change the team around or whatever. It's a dead rubber as soon as Kiel didn't work out after 7 games.
Yeah.
Just about playing up.
And who are your favourites in the National League for the promotion then, like in terms of playoffs especially?
No one wants to keep winning. Stockport and Wrexham both lost at the weekend. Both of them. Stockport still win it. I don't think Wrexham will catch them. Still got too much to do.
You're quite happy at that, aren't you?
it depends how you look at it. You want two big hitters gone this year, because although Scunthorpe and Oldham dropping down are both in and dire straits off the pitch, and I don't see neither of them will bounce back up. Southend will be better next year. That's a guarantee. And then you've still got your Notts Counties, your Chesterfields, your Grimsbys, your Wrexhams. They can't all go up. So we're still going to be stuck with a few. So if we can get rid of two, that would be more helpful than losing, say, maybe a Solihull or a Halifax. No disrespect to those two clubs, because they've done fantastic with much smaller budgets. But you just can't compete against sides like Wrexham and Stockport that can go and sign players from League One for £300,000.
That's the thing. It's as we said in the last episode, it's becoming like these so-called big clubs starting to fall further and further down the wayside. But the thing is, with them being big clubs or as such, they are going to have the bigger budgets. They are going to have the bigger fan base. Despite the fact some people might be disillusioned. So again, as you said, you've got Stockport, you've got Oldham coming down. Scunthorpe, and you know they're going to have bigger budgets, and you're losing one big shot, you're replacing it with another.
Scunthorpe and Oldham have got serious troubles off the field. As Trevor alluded to, I don't see them bouncing straight back. They need to get their houses in order, and it might take two or three years. Who knows? Yeah. I fully agree with what Trev said there. I can't see Scunthorpe unless both clubs or at least one club gets under new ownership very quickly. I'd be very surprised if either of those two put up any kind of real championship fight next season.
Yeah, it's bang on. I mean, Southend found that last year, coming straight down, still having Phil Brown in charge, who had no clue about that division whatsoever. And they struggle for it. As soon as they actually moved into a management team that know the level slightly above and slightly below, turned it around like they should have done all season, really. And with Oldham and Scunthorpe, though, even if they go on to new ownership, you can see them going for a name which might look great in the media, and you know the fans will love that to start with, but Harry Kiel's testament to that doesn't work.
Yeah, and Oldham Athletic are in dire straits. I mean, they're having huge fan demonstrations. So it's they are really going to struggle badly, I think.
It's crazy to think these are some of the teams that I've seen play Charlton in League One, like over many years of being in that sort of division. It's crazy to think how bad they're going. It just shows how wrong it can go quickly. It doesn't matter the size of your club, which obviously concerned like me as being a Charlton fan early in the season with the lack of investment. Like, we could easily have been gone into League Two at one stage of the season, and what happens then? And it, as we said, there's no such thing as a big club anymore. I'm sure you can say as well, Chris, you've got good support as a Sunderland fan. They do have a good fan base, but sticking in. If they're in the playoffs again this season, by the looks of it, they still haven't secured their place, I don't think, but they nearly have. But it could be again. They lose out in the playoffs, and that's what, their fifth or sixth year in League One. Can you keep calling them a big club if they're stuck in League One? You can't. I say to Charlton when I have people go, oh, Charlton's a big club. No, they're not. They're not a big club. You know, we barely fill 10,000 seats at the Valley sometimes because people got 27,000 seat stadium. Yeah, we had all the plastic fans that were Premier League fans, and you know, some people could say maybe I'm one of those because I've gone sort of non-league way and supported a lot more, but it's because of the cost of going up to London from where I live, and you know, it's £35 on the train return straight away, cost for tickets £25 to £30, that's £70 for us in the ball played, and you got beers and you got people, 100 a day. As I go to Worthing, do the work with Pete, we get into the ground, we have a few beers, sometimes have some food, and it's not costing you any more than £20-30.
Yeah. So the thing about Sunderland, I mean, they're getting 32,000 crowds. They've already sold in excess of 20,000 season tickets for next season already, and they don't even know which league they're going to play in. You could see, that's a sign of a big club, but no one who signs, nobody now sees Sunderland as a big club. They can't be. You know, they are paying League One wages because they are a genuine League One club at the moment.
Yeah.
They're not big.
No, it's a shame because you've got a loyal big fan base. You've got a big fan base.
Yeah.
That's because of the sort of Newcastle Sunderland sort of rivalries. Mm-hmm. They're going to support one or the other up there. Whereas London's very diluted, as you know, with clubs and the sort of southern area. But hey, it's interesting talking about big clubs though, Trevor. You did say to us that the final for the playoffs is going to be for the National League at the London Stadium, which is a turnout for the books. West Ham's stadium. I've never been. I'm due to go and see that. I think it's a concert there at the beginning of June. Bit of Green Day, go back to my old youth days. And I've never been, but I, from what I've seen, it just looks like those seats where they're so far back. Weird. Would they even? If it was Wrexham in the final, they'll take a good 20,000. Do you reckon?
Yeah.
And you know who? I mean, other big teams, they won't get 30,000 in that stadium possibly for a playoff final.
Yeah, Notts County. Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Notts County. Could get
40,000.
Yeah, you probably would.
But it goes on to say, does that make it slightly better? Because what is it, 55,000 seater stadium or something? 50,000 seater stadium. Mm-hmm. Does that make it a better atmosphere than Wembley, where you have the whole of the top closed and maybe you just have the bottom tiers and Club Wembley open? Because it's like I was saying to Pete, I don't know if you were involved in this conversation on Saturday. I think it might have been you, it might have been someone else, but I can't barely remember much of Saturday. With the Sussex Senior Cup, well, I don't know, mate, a few bevvies down the pub, drinking out of a cup. With the Sussex Senior Cup final, obviously it's Brighton and Hove under 23s versus Worthing's first team, which is in a couple of weeks' time on a Tuesday night. Sadly, I can't go to it. Jealous of Pete because he's got another game of football to see in the Worthing Red. Jealous of you, Trev. Got another game in the Worthing Red. But we're only going to sell, doesn't matter how many, Brighton aren't going to have that many fans there. They'll have that. It'll be a lot of Worthing, but they're only going to sell a few blocks, and there's going to be that whole vast stadium, which is about 30,000 seater, I think. Would it be better of maybe of doing it at a ground like Crawley's ground, which is only, 10, 15,000, probably not even 10, probably about 10,000. Would it have been better for the atmosphere to be in a smaller ground like that? Say, like, you know,
no.
Is the London Stadium bigger? Really, Pete? I mean, you've not been to the Sussex Cup at the Amex before, and I know people love it, but it's going to be so echoey and stuff.
It'll be fine. It's all about, you know, we've made it to the final, and it's nice for non-league club to go and play at a Premiership level stadium. I think it's an experience for the fans.
But in terms of atmosphere, it's there will be atmosphere, but it's going to be echoey. And it's not going to be the greatest of atmospheres, is it?
But I mean, I can go back in the days when I was watching Maidstone as a non-league side just before they went into the Football League, and the County Cup then at that level was always played at the highest ranking professional club you got in the county. Which in Kent was always Gillingham.
Gillingham.
Only has been. The stadium wouldn't be full because it would be, say, could be Maidstone against Dartford, could be Welling, could be anyone else that's got slightly smaller support as well. But it's the whole fact that as a player and a fan, you're going into a stadium that you generally would not visit.
Never play,
on a normal Saturday in the entire season. It doesn't matter whether it's got 2,000 in it or 20,000 in it. It's just the whole fact of, you get a whole different experience. And even like now with, that was in the late 80s. So we're like, 20, 30 years later. And, I still see it as it's something that clubs should go out to win it. You know, Barnet went and won the Middlesex Cup 2 weeks ago, played Brentford B and won it. Only played it at Hampton and Richmond. I don't know what would be the biggest ground in the Middlesex
probably
area.
Probably Barnet, would it? Barnet's
possibly the Hive might have been, yeah. I don't quite know.
Because I know Bowles and Pitsy played, was it Billericay, I think they played it, and they were playing at Colchester Stadium in the Essex Cup. They just played the week after we did. So that was, but then you could say Essex in theory, would you, I know West Ham's kind of in London, but would the London Stadium have been the biggest stadium for that? Do they play in the Essex Senior League Cup? Because Charlton used to play in the Kent Cup, which is,
and the London Cup. Yeah, it depends which FAs you're affiliated to. If you're only affiliated to Essex, then you can't play in London and vice versa and stuff. But it's just that, almost that spectacle of the occasion, rather
like their version of Wembley sort of thing.
Anything else? I can understand the playing at Crawley in terms of the amount of people you'd have in it would then make it more maybe compact and it, I suppose, pleasing on the eye to others because it's fuller rather than that. But then, you know, how many of them players are going to get the, you know, even the Brighton under 23 players, how many of those players are going to get the chance to pull on a bright shirt in the Premier League at the Amex?
That's true.
And
the other thing is, I've got a corporate invite, so I'm looking forward to the hospitality.
Oh, here he goes. Well, just to let you know, I also got a corporate invite, but I'm working, so Pete can't have all that.
But you know what? I didn't get one. I'd rather go and sit with the fans anyway, same as I'm doing at Wembley.
Yeah, but Pete wants to smooze the prawn sandwiches. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, it's the only chance you can get to taste them, isn't it?
I hate prawns.
All right, send them down to me then.
Spot him out and lob him down to him. So there you go, Trev. But to be fair though, Pete says, like, yeah, a few of us, yeah, I got invited to that one, and you know, there's been a few events that the club invited fans to, and it's really nice because just nice to sort of, you know, the work we put into the club, it was just really nice, touching thing to be recognised by that. It's just a shame that I won't be able to be there. I won't be able to be there this weekend for the players do, and I won't be able to be there for the Sussex Cup final. But I'll be watching a live stream, hopefully. So hopefully my Wi-Fi will be good wherever I am in the world. And see that, but I just come to a conclusion now that it's kind of the football season's coming to an end, guys. And it's kind of getting a bit depressing now. I mean, Chris, you've got two.
What are you on about?
Well, you're a Barnet fan, and I'm sure I'll be able to fit in one or two games before the end of just having non-leagues. But it's got to a point where it's kind of like, you know, Chris has got two very. He ain't going to enjoy those games unless you're just absolutely spanking them.
Perhaps just one, got to win.
You could just have one game. Yeah. And it's kind of those things. And we'll soon be talking about next season. I think there's one professional EFL game left in the coming weekend tomorrow night and the weekend, and the EFL's done. And it'll be the playoffs for them, which is obviously exciting.
Chris, is your game being live streamed at all?
No, not as far as I know. There is live commentary. Warrington Town are providing live commentary on Mixlr.
You're not doing it?
No. I haven't been asked. And because Warrington are providing commentary, I dare say that'll do. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the Shields aren't really keen on having radio commentary at home games. I can understand why. But with it being a Tuesday night, was a possibility. We did it 3 years ago, Ronnie and I, in the playoff semi-final on a Tuesday night, but Warrington have announced that their commentators are coming up, so at least it's available.
But they'll be biased towards Warrington. We don't really want that. I don't want to listen.
But you're saying about the season's going to finish in a couple of weeks, right? Yeah. That National League playoff final is on Sunday, the 5th of June. So even if Wrexham make the final, play at Wembley on the 22nd, they've then got 2 weeks before they actually play again. But you imagine finishing the season in the National League on the 15th. You've got 3 weeks until the final's actually due to be played.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to go to the London Stadium then, Trev.
That's mental.
Have a day on Westfield Stratford.
That can cause injuries.
Will they be focused or will they be thinking of their holidays already? You know what I mean? All my other mates and other clubs, they're on their jollies right now, on their Instagrams and everything. You know, never know. But it's coming to an end of the season. We'll probably have a couple more episodes before we finish, though, for the summer break. I think that's time to sort of wrap it up now, chaps. Pete, have you got any shout-outs?
Yeah, big well done to Alf Church, who my Midlands non-league team. And the first non-league.
We won't rib him again because he'll get
still no correspondent there.
Yeah, there we go.
But big round into them. They sneaked into the playoffs. They've got a tough fixture against Peterborough Sports, who are in good form.
Oh, that will be tough, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got a tough assignment there. But
the Gash man will score.
Yeah, they've sneaked in on goal difference. So, yeah, big well done to Ralph Church. And also, same neck of the woods, Bromsgrove, because they just about dodged relegation from that league. So at least Bromsgrove is staying in that league as well. Right.
And Trev, anything from you before we wrap up?
I'm off to football again tomorrow night.
Very good. Oh, you're going to the Sussex thing, aren't you? The Sussex.
Yeah, are you?
Like one of the other Sussex Cups. Yeah. Well, enjoy that, mate. Enjoy that. Chris, I don't think you got any shout-outs, or have you? Any shout-outs or anything?
Just want to wish all North East clubs in these Northern Premier League playoffs the very best. All four clubs.
No, you don't give a shit about only one club. That's all you want. You don't care about anyone else in the North Premier League, because, as I've said before, we're all South Shields, aren't we, right now? Because we will speak to you, hopefully, as promoted, because that'll be the time in the next episode. There'll be promotion, and obviously we'll be in touch in there, but we just wish you the very best. It'll be just devastating if it doesn't happen for you, but we're not going to think like that. We're going to think it will happen for you. All the very best to South Shields and all the players up there that we know. And I'm sure, unfortunately, we won't be able to make any of the playoffs, because so soon, as you said, I thought maybe we would have been able to plan something, but no, we'll be keeping an eye on the football web pages tomorrow night. And I'm sure we'll be in touch with you tomorrow. But good luck, Chris and South Shields.
Thank you.
Pete, we can still brag and celebrate as being champions, because it's very nice. And I don't think we'll get over that moment for a long time. But
it's been done, dusted now. It's a new season coming up.
Just because Bayern are rubbish.
I haven't stopped partying since.
Yeah. What have you done today? Is that actually a mug of tea, or is it something in there?
It's actually a mug of tea.
It is. Are you feeling all right? Is it because he's had so much over the weekend?
Yeah. I've only got one can in the fridge, and there's 20 cans in the car, but I can't be bothered to go out and get them.
What a muppet. Is it raining? I don't even know. It's not even raining out there. Yeah, God, Pete, what are you like? Anyway.
But I thought it might be a good idea to have a rest anyway.
Yeah, I think your liver will be thanking you right now. Anyway, chaps, great little episode number 32. Good luck to Shields. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time, and enjoy your non-league football wherever you're seeing. Be seeing you.
Bye-bye.
Are you PNLP?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.